Ecclesiastes chapter 2 this morning. Ecclesiastes 2, and we'll read verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool. Forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labour which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool. Yet shall he have rule over all my labour, wherein I have laboured, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labour which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labour is in wisdom, and in knowledge, and equity. Yet to a man that hath not laboured therein shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath a man of all his labour, and a vexation of his heart, wherein he hath laboured under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his own, in sight wisdom, and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
A strong and mighty Brother Dan, when he was up before, said he thought he noticed me over here. So that means there are two good-looking men in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you can take your Bibles and look at two particular passages to start with. We're going to look in 1 Samuel. We're going to read from there first. 1 Samuel 18. And then I want you to also find Psalm 143. Psalm 143. And we'll look at a couple other verses as we go. But let's just read 1 Samuel 18. We're going to read verses 5 to 9. The Bible says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, 'Saul hath slayed his thousands, and David his 10,000s.' And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?'" Now notice verse 9, it says, "And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Saul eyed David from that day forward. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into the message. The message is called today, "When Life Eyes You." When Life Eyes You. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for this church. Lord, thank you for seeing new faces and seeing familiar faces. I thank you for the opportunity to declare your word. I pray you'd help me, use me in spite of just being just a man. May you speak through me, and may we be encouraged by the word of God this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll get to Psalm 143 in just a second. As we start 2020, most people, they like to reflect what's happened in the year gone by. And as I reflect 2019, it was a very tough year for me, a very tough year. And maybe you could testify that too. As you look back over what has taken place, you might think, oh, how did I get through 2019? It was one of those years where you pull your hair out. Now, those of you who remember me last year when I visited, I had flowing locks like Fabio, all right? I was a poster boy for most front cover books. And now look at me. That's at the end of 2019. All the hair's gone, all right? It was one of those very stressful years. I thought to myself, how did I get through it? Many emotional situations from every aspect of life. I had issues from direct family members that caused great concern and stress on my family. There were social issues. There were issues with friends at church that just left me, I guess, bruised and battered emotionally. And in these situations, sometimes it was like I really struggled to know what to do or how to cope. And I think about David, who we read about in 1 Samuel 18. In Psalm 143 is David's thoughts about what was going on in his life. Remember, Saul was a man that eyed David from that day forward. David really did nothing wrong. He went to battle. He was accepted by everyone. God helped him to perform a great feat in defeating Goliath. And God used him to win a lot of fights, and he was uplifted and elevated in the eyes of the people. And when the ladies came out rejoicing and singing and dancing about what had taken place, they sang and said that David had killed his 10,000s, but Saul had only killed thousands. And Saul grew with jealousy and with a very evil type spirit, started to eye David from that day forward. Excuse me. Now let's have a look at Psalm 143. We're going to read just some verses here, starting verse 1. David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness and hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant." David was really going through a hard time. And that got me thinking about myself going through a hard time last year. And in Psalm 143, David's thoughts and words as he's penned these things down give me some encouragement. It gives me some things that I can look to help me in those times of trouble. When we compare our troubles to what David was going through, I think when I look back in 2019, I think my troubles were very small compared to David, having someone, a king who was out to destroy you, a king who was out to kill you. I think for the most of us, we might go through maybe some financial troubles during the year, maybe some health issues, maybe we might upset somebody here at church, or maybe a friend or a family member, but we don't have anyone that's actively trying to set out to kill us. And David, going through all these things, in Psalm 143 and also Psalm 57, which we will look at as well, teaches me some things that I can personally do to help me go through these things. So let's have a look. We're going to look in verse 7 of Psalm 143. When life eyes me, or when life was eyeing David, this is what he'd said. He says, "Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth." In verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." You know, when David was going through some hard things, you notice the first thing he did was he got out his mobile phone, jumped onto Facebook, and he started to post, "Woe is me." He posted, "I'm over this." He posted, "Life sucks." Is that what the first thing you see he does? No. Notice the first thing that David does is he says, "Hear me, Lord. Hear me." So what's he doing? He's praying. The first thing that David decided to do when life was getting him down, when life was overwhelming him, when the struggles of life were there, the very first thing he does is, "Hear me, Lord." First thing he does is pray. You know, why is it so often that when situations arise, when things get tough, why is it that prayer seems to be, for a lot of people, one of the last things they do? We seem to seek counsel from friends, Social media really, I mean, like I jokingly said that, but it's true. People do that. People post their woes and their problems, and they're normally just one-liners or a couple of sentences, and you instantly think, oh, I wonder what's going on. We're here for you, brother. We're here for you, sister. And you see all these messages, all these replies of, we're praying for you, God loves you, and it seems like the person that's posted it, the reason why they've posted it is they just want to soak up some sort of sympathy or some sort of whatever. And depending if I know the person really well and if I know their situation, I might reply and message privately. But when I'm going through, if you look through my Facebook post, very rarely will you just see those one-liners of those. I don't want to be that sort of person. I want to be the sort of person who, when life gets tough, I want to pray. I want to ask God. I want to say, God, hear me. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, just a couple of chapters over from 1 Samuel 18, David went to his friend Jonathan. Verse 1 says, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? So David went to Jonathan to find out, can you help me? What's the answer? Why is this happening? And no answer could be found. So David had to go to God. Let me encourage you, when things get tough in your life, there's nothing wrong with seeking help from friends, but your first point of call should be God. Your first point of call should be, hear me, God. Psalm 34 and verse 15. I like this verse. It's very simple. It tells us that God's ears are open to our cry. Psalm 34 and verse 15, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Don't fear, don't fret when things are really bad, because the Bible tells us God already knows what's going on. God's eyes are on you. God's eyes know what's going on. God is aware of your circumstances, and his ear is open if you will just ask him. If you were to say, Lord, hear me. There are some things that are going on that I'm struggling with. There are some things that are going on that I just don't know the answer to. I don't know why they are happening. I don't know why they're happening to me. As far as I know, I really try to serve you. I try to obey you. I try to do what you want. And these things are coming and I just don't know. I'm really, really struggling. I'm down. I'm downtrodden. As you read through Psalm 143, and also Psalm 57, I'm just going to find that there because we're going to have a look there as well, Psalm 57. You'll find that David really is going through some really terrible time. And he is really struggling. He's going through some really low times. Let's have a look at Psalm 57, verse 1 and 2. David here says, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. All these things that are coming, I just need to go to you until they go by. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Prayer should be the first thing. It shouldn't be the last resort. Notice in Psalm 143 verse 7, David says, hear me speedily. That's the key for me. It should be the first thing I do, very speedily. When things are getting out of control, God, you're the answer. You're the one that I need to appeal to. Should never be the last resort. Psalm 57 verse 1 teaches me something about David's attitude to his prayer. He says, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. When David came before God to pray and to seek help, David prayed with faith. My soul trusteth in thee. What does your soul trust in when things are going tough? Does your soul trust in God? Or does it trust in your ability to navigate hard situations? There are some people who are very intelligent and they do have some foresight about things. And they do have a little bit of maturity that maybe other people don't have. And they seem to cope quite well with certain things. But if that's what you're trusting in, you're very, very limited. I would prefer to trust in God, who already can see what's going on and who already knows the answers and who already knows what is best for me. My soul trusteth in thee. David found shadow under God's wings. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. When that time of prayer, it gives us an opportunity just to stop and rest under God a little bit. As we take time to just slow down, take yourself apart and say, God, I'm not sure why this is happening, but I do trust you. My soul trusts you. And as you take time communing with God, it's like you start now taking refuge under God's wings. And you start to get that little bit of, just a little bit of comfort, a little bit of shadow from the heat of the pressure that is coming. I'll make my refuge. I like the song we sang. God never moves. You rejoice in the Lord. God doesn't make any mistakes. He knoweth the path I take.
Yes.
When I'm tried, I will be purified, and I shall come forth as gold. Yeah. So that was a good choice of song, brother.
Yeah.
Wherever you are. Yes. Yes. Good choice of song. I was singing it and I was thinking, that actually works in very well with the thoughts here. One thing I do notice is that David expected God to do something. So his soul trusted him. He said, hear me speedily. But he says in verse 2 of Psalm 57, he says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that does perform all things for me. He's kind of believing and expecting God to do something for him. God does do things for us. And when we go to him, we can expect God to answer according to his will. I'm not the sort of man who believes in praying for prosperity and just God expect me to give me everything. But I do believe God will answer my prayer according to his will. And because of that, I can have confidence and I can trust in him. I noticed that David realized that he can't do everything. He can't fix the problems. We go back to Psalm 143, verse 7. He says, hear me speedily, O Lord. Have a look what he says next. He says, my spirit faileth. My spirit faileth. That's like me saying, God, I need help because I'm out of options. I just can't do it. I know I can't do it. I can't fix these problems. I can't fix these situations. I can't make that person stop saying what they're saying. I can't make that person change their attitude, or that person who's sinning, I can't stop them. And that's causing stress on the church, or it's causing stress on the family. God, only you can do that. And when we come to the realization that we can't and we believe that God can, then I think God starts to take control. Because so often we try to manipulate, we try to work, we try to change, we try to make circumstances happen. I mean, God's given us a mind, and in some circumstances, God expects us to work. God expects us to do things. But there are some times that we try to take God's place. And when God says, well, when you're ready to stop, when you're ready to take hands off and ask and come and seek me about it, I already know what's going on. I've actually got the remedy. I've got the answer for you. Then I'll work. I don't know how many times, and all I can testify is a couple of things that have ever happened. But there have been a few instances where a situation has arisen, and I know and I even know the right answer. I even know what's going on. But sometimes God just says, don't. Keep right out of it because I'm going to work it out. And I've so wanted to say something. I've so wanted to get involved in the circumstance. But sometimes God, you really kind of, I don't know about this puzzle, sometimes you kind of feel God just says something. And it's sometimes directly related to you. And I've just stood back because I know if I get involved, it's going to fuel things. So I step back, and within a day, within 24 hours, someone else has come through and done exactly what I was going to do and defuse the situation. And I'm clean now. I'm free from fueling the fire because God's taken care of it anyway. It's happened several times over the last few years where I've seen something I wanted to, and God says, back off, take your hands off, let me work. And David comes to that conclusion, I can't do it anymore, my spirit's failed, I don't know the answers, help me. Then notice, so the first thing, when life eyes you, pray, or hear me in verse 7 and verse 1. Then in verse 8, David says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. There he goes again. God, I really trust you. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. So here's David's prayer now. He says, well, first thing I'm going to do is I am going to pray. But notice what he prays. Interestingly, he doesn't just say, get Saul and so I'm clear of everything. He says, cause me to know thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me. Have you ever noticed getting to know God and wanting to know God just doesn't come naturally for us? We have a sinful fleshly nature. And whenever it can, it'll not want to read the Bible. It'll not want to pray. It would rather sit down and watch TV or go to the beach or do our favorite hobby. That's what our flesh wants to do. And I think for David, he struggled the same thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't pray, cause me to help me to know more about you, about your love. Cause me. Have you ever asked God, cause me? Kind of make me? Show me how I can understand you and love you and get to know you better? David's prayer was, Lord, I need to spend time with you. I need to know more about your loving kindness. And I believe for us, we can really, that one of the main ways, and I know it seems very obvious, but even I struggle with this sometimes, cause me to read my Bible. That's how I find out about God. We can't just be circumstance-driven people. We can't just learn by circumstances alone. God's word is the way God often and usually teaches us things. How many times I've been sitting in church and you're just there, you go through the motions of church, you sit down, you've done the singing. For me, in my church, I lead the singing. So, brother, I understand people don't follow me when I'm song leading either, all right? Especially when the piano player does her own thing and it's just doing her own thing. I understand, I feel your pain. But when I get down on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and I sit down, often you've done your thing at church, you've done what your ministry is at that time, and you sit down. And you sit there and just going through the motions, you're listening. And then all of a sudden, God will just start to speak. And you can ask my wife, every now and then I'll find paper and I'll quickly start writing notes. And I'll write sermons in the middle of church or an outline. I'll put down thoughts and something will pop in and I'm listening to the preacher and sometimes it's directly related to that. It's directly related to what he's saying. But then sometimes I'll just get inspiration of other things. And I'm not that I'm not listening, but it's just feeding. And it's those times when I'm amongst the word of God is when I start to understand more about God and God starts to feed and God starts to help. I want to encourage you, next time you pray quietly and privately, say, ask that. God, cause me to understand more. Cause me to know you, about your loving kindness. And do this daily. It may just revolutionize your prayer life. It may just revolutionize how you grasp and understand God. In the Bible, it's where we learn about God's promises. The easiest one I remember is in Hebrews 13:5, where it talks about where God says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's the word of God that as we're causing to understand our God, it's where we get God's promises from. But not only did David want to understand about God, But he does say in verse 8, he says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. So notice there's a bit of a progression. He wants to get to the problems of life that he's going through. But first he says, God, I need your help because I'm struggling to really get to know you better. So cause me to know you. But then he says, God, this is really where what I want to pray. God, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me the path I'm supposed to walk. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just sat down and said, God, I don't know what to do. Show me. What steps am I supposed to take? How am I supposed to deal with this? What am I supposed to say? How am I supposed to get the money to pay this bill? Ask God, what do you want me to do? Is it just sit back and wait? Do I ask for more shifts at work? What do I do? Ask God's opinion, ask God's will on the matter. Cause me to know what I am supposed to do. I wonder if we just don't know the answers because we just don't ask. I think James talks about that. We have not because we ask not. And then we do often ask, we ask amiss. We don't ask with the right motive, or we're not really wanting to know what God wants, we just want what we want. Have you ever prayed that? God, I really need this money. I know I've got some bills, but I want one extra money. I want more money. And we often ask amiss. We're asking the wrong things. I think when asking God about things, ask how we can go through this situation rather than God remove the situation is the key. Have you ever thought about that? Often we want to be removed out of the situation or the situation cleared up and gone. But if we were able to ask God and say, God, what do you want me to learn through this situation? I think we'll actually come out, I shall come forth as gold, amen, as the song we sang this morning. So David says, hear me. In verse 8, he says, cause me. And then in verse 9 of Psalm 143, he says, deliver me. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. I think in this verse, I know David would like to be out of the situation, but I think what he's saying is, Lord, help me not to lose the plot. Deliver me from losing the plot. There have been some times last year where circumstances were at both Laurel and myself's wits where we were like, we're ready to lose the plot. We don't know what to do. I guess we're like David. We tried everything we could think of to work in a particular situation and it wasn't getting better. And it was like we were ready to throw the towel in. Not in church, but just ready to throw the towel in with some family members. And it was like, we love them. I know they love us, but this is becoming unbearable. And we just didn't know what to do. And we were ready, mentally, we were ready to, I don't know, snap, go to hospital. We were going to admit ourselves to some psych ward for maybe 24 years just to get some relief from the pressure and the tension of what was going on at home. It's like, and I think David's saying, deliver me. Deliver me, O Lord. I know he says, from mine enemies, but help me not to lose the plot. It's a scary place to be when you're really struggling. But you know, it's better to be honest with God. When you get to that point where you just, when you're really at the end of your wit's end and you don't know the answers, just be honest with God and let him know that. It's not shame to say, God, I'm done. God maybe wants you to be done. So he says, okay, you finished? All right, now watch. Now I can actually do something. Because before you get to the wit's end, I couldn't, because you're still trying to control things. I think sometimes David's just saying, deliver me from myself. Deliver me from myself. Because David was pretty down. Let's have a look at the description of David. Let's go back to verse 3 of Psalm 143. He says, For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. That's a pretty strong statement. Persecution of soul. Have you ever had persecution of soul? Have you ever had it where the very depths of your soul, you felt persecuted? You felt really smitten. You felt bruised and battered. Let's continue on. He says, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Sounds like a bit of a description that David was getting very depressed. Sure. Very down emotionally, mentally. It's like I've just been trodden down. I'm in darkness. I don't see any light. I don't see any answer. I don't see any way. It's just coming on me all the time. Then he says, in verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. You know, when we get to the place where we're getting so overwhelmed with things, the only answer really is God. It's not medication. Medication can help in certain circumstances. I'm not against that. But where we would just rely on medication to help us through problems, that's when it becomes a problem. But when we get so overwhelmed and our heart within us is desolate, there's no joy, there's no wanting to serve, there's no willing to do the things we've got to do, we can't get out of bed to even get to work, we're just really depressed. That's when David says, God, you need to help. That's where David was. He was felt he was really drowning in confusion and hurt. The man he looked up to, the man he was serving and helping, is now against him. Can you imagine? We might think because we're a Christian family, it'd be like the pastor. It'd be like your brother if you found a member and went after him. Sure. And they didn't know why. Mm. And he rang and sent messages and physically assaulted you. And you'd be like, what's going on? And you ask people, what have I done? Just like David did. What have I done? No answer can be given. Not that you ever would. But that's what we like. Sure. Can you imagine? If Pastor Lloyd came after me for no reason that I could think of, man, I would be heartbroken. I would be in a dark place. What do I do? This is my church. We've been in church there for over 17 years, 17 and a half years. We've been there a long time. I don't want to have to go anywhere else. But that's where David was. Deliver me from my enemies, what's going on. Deliver me from my own self-pity. You know, it's easy to take our eyes, it's easy to fix our eyes upon our circumstances, and that becomes our light in life. Have you ever met people that every time you meet them, how's things? Oh, you know, I'm being really sick. And that is them. Their problem or their thing that is overwhelming them becomes their life. They're fixated on this, and everything is about that. Now, we've had some struggles and continued struggles, and I said, Laurel, when we come here today, when people ask us, how are you going? Things are great. Things are great. They are great because I know God's in control. I know God's working and God's doing it. But I don't want to be the sort of person that always has issues. That's what I'm known for. I don't want that. I don't want to be fixated on that. Before too long, if we do that, we end up believing the lies of the world. We end up believing, I am no good. This is my lot in life. Nobody can help me. I'll just have to post another post on Facebook. That's my lot in life. That's where I'm at. Let's not be that. So verse 10. We've got verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 10, he goes on, he says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. So you see the progression. He struggled, he says, God, I realize I've got to pray, hear me. And then as he starts to pray, he says, Lord, first thing, I just want to know you a little bit more, cause me to know. Then he goes on, Lord, you know I'm struggling and I'm overwhelmed, and please help me get through this. Deliver me from it and from my own pities. And then he says, God, now teach me, show me now the way that I'm supposed to do. Show me the steps that I'm supposed to take, but now teach me to do thy will. Show me the steps, but now teach me how I can do it. Because sometimes God's going to show you some things that you're going to go, oh, how am I supposed to do that? You may need to go to somebody that God might say, now's the time. I want you to approach that person. Well, you're the cause of, you might even be some, you may be some of the cause of the problem. So God might say, you need to go and deal with this. You need to talk to that person. And you go, oh, really? How am I going to do that? They're going to hate me. They're going to, it's just going to blow up even further. But God, teach me how to do what you want me to do. Teach me to do your will. It's now time to listen to what God has to say. If we don't listen and do, nothing will ever change. You know, we go to prayer and we pour our heart to God. And we say, God, help me. And God says, okay, I'm going to help you. But so often we don't like the answers that he gives us. Because it's not what we were hoping for. It's not what we were expecting. And God says, do what I want you to do. And even David, one of the great men of God, needed to ask, show me how I can do this. Teach me how I'm supposed to obey you. We can trust God because David says, thou art my God and thy spirit is good. Thy spirit is good. We can trust God because he is our God. We have the great God of heaven who is our Heavenly Father. And we can trust him and we can know that everything he does, everything he expects of us, everything he teaches us to do is good, even though we think it's bad, even though we don't understand it, even though we can't comprehend it, his spirit is good. As we listen to him, he leads us to a place of righteousness. That's what David asked for. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. We want to get to a place where we're not just dwelling in amongst ourselves, but we want God to lift us up to a place where we're in God's will now. And that's what we need to do. Now let's have a look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. And it says here, quicken me. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. And this is, to me, this is where we can actually get revived. We can actually face, you know, we can actually face revival through the toughest of times. Have you ever even considered that? You can actually come out so much greater than when you went in because of the things that God is allowing you to go through. God is the great healer of our soul. Let's go back in Psalm 57 in verse 7. There's some verses in there that describe David's anguish and David's thoughts there. In verse, let's just read some of that because I really like this. Verse 4 says, my soul is among lions. Like, I'm really getting, I'm like amongst fiery beasts here. And I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongues are a sharp sword. So this really describes what David was going through. But then he says, hey, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Then he says, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. So he says, I'm consumed. I'm trapped. But then notice what he says in verse 7. This is why I turned here. He says, my heart is fixed, O Lord, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. What he's saying there, he says, my heart is steadfast. I'm settled. I'm solid. We can actually find some steadfastness in God through the trial. He's already shared that he's overwhelmed, he's downtrodden, he's in darkness, he's amongst lions. People have got sharp teeth. It's just like I'm really discouraged. But because you're good, because you're God, because I can come to you, he says in verse 7, my heart is fixed. Through your trials and through the difficulties that you're going through, you can actually find some steadfastness in God to help you through that trial. When we do that, this will cause us, just like David did in verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Verse 7, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. When we find steadfastness in God, we can actually find worship to God. We can actually lift up our voices and sing. I don't think you'll ever, I'm just trying to think if I've ever come across it on Facebook. Have you ever read, been scrolling through your phone or your PC, whatever, and you've gone and you've, have you ever read, I'm over this, but praise God, I'm rejoicing? You normally don't see it. You don't. David found a uniqueness of strength as he was going through this. He found a place where he could be fixed. Most people today, most Christians today, they don't find that. They just get smashed around this turmoil of problems and they never find a solid ground. They never find a steadfastness to be able to stop and praise God and sing and honour God. When we get to this place, we can actually declare God's goodness to everybody. And notice, the same as verse 5 in Psalm 57, the same in verse 11, we actually get to the place where we're now exalting God. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. There's a song, there's a chorus. Do you know that chorus? Yeah. We sing that at church sometimes, and it's a good truth. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. So I can honestly say that even though my year has been a struggle, I will openly declare today that God has been good through it all. Even though as I said, we wanted to throw the towel in, we wanted to just get on a ship and sail the seven seas for a year. That's what we wanted to do, but God has helped us through it. He's never let me down. And even when I've never known what to do, I have been able to put my trust in him and have the leading of the Spirit, and at those times I actually listen and obey. I can't say I'm the perfect Christian. I can't say I'm as good as David. I can't say all the time that I go and pray about things, I'm just an honest guy. I'm just like you and me. But God has always worked things out beyond what I ever thought possible. And I want to give all praise to God in that.